Turn to Nehemiah chapter 2. Let me pray for us, and then we'll look at briefly into Nehemiah chapter 2. Father, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for a time set aside to pray together like this. We ask that you would please, Lord, just remind us every day to be praying for our own selves before you, our families, for Grace Bible Chapel, for San Antonio, for Texas, for our country, for things going on around in our world. We ask, Lord, that you'd just remind us that we are to be constantly praying and seeking you. And I thank you and ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. We're going to be looking at the first eight verses of Nehemiah chapter 2. Back in May when we had a fifth Sunday, I had us look at chapter 1 and the prayer of Nehemiah there. And we'll see that his prayer was a response to what he had just heard about, the remnant in the land and the city of Jerusalem and its gates. And in his prayer, he spoke of the character of God. He spoke of his faithfulness. He asked God to listen to him concerning Israel and their situation. He focused on their sin, including himself, just his own family, and knowing what they had done before the Lord. He asked God to remember what he had promised them if they returned to him, and he spoke of them being servants and his people. And he ended his prayer asking God to hear him and his prayer, and to others who were praying as well. And he asked to make him successful and to grant him compassion with the king. And so this morning we'll look at Nehemiah's second prayer. We don't even know what he said. We just know that he prayed. So our setting is that Nehemiah is the cupbearer of the king. He had an important position. As you would know, as you would understand, anybody who's going to give somebody something to drink and they're in a high position, anything could be done. And so his own life was at stake, as well as the king's. So he had an important position there. We read in verse 1 of chapter 2, and it came about in the month of Nisan, in the 20th year of King Artaxerxes, that wine was before him. And I took up the wine and gave it to the king. Now, I had not been sad in his presence. So this is about 4 months later, and he is fulfilling his duty as a cupbearer. And there is a chronological problem here. I'm not going to deal with it just because of the time, but Nisan comes before Kislev, which is in chapter 1, verse 1. But it's a matter of scholars dealing with something that I don't have the time to deal with, so I'm not going to deal with it. But just to know that there is a chronological problem. It's not a problem with the text. It's just a problem with understanding how they gave time and how they recorded time. But we see in chapter or verse 2, so the king said to me, "Why is your face sad, though you are not sick? This is nothing but sadness of heart." Then I was very much afraid. Nehemiah is he has a heart for what's going on with his people, and he's in a tough situation because he's the cupbearer and he's serving the king, but he wants to be in Jerusalem. He wants to be with God's people. He wants to be able to help them. And so it's obvious from what the king says that he knows that Nehemiah is not sick. There's nothing wrong with him. He's ready there. He's there fulfilling his job. And so it's not a matter of anything else other than he is hurt. He is saddened by something. And, of course, the king doesn't know that, but we see how Nehemiah responds. He says he was very much afraid at the end of verse 2. And then he answers, "And I said to the king, 'Let the king live forever. Why should my face not be sad when the city, the place of my father's tombs, lies desolate and its gates have been consumed by fire?'" So Nehemiah answers him very honestly. He is saddened because of the city that he is from, in Jerusalem, and the place where his fathers and others, obviously not just his own fathers, but the fathers of the people of Israel, were buried. And it's desolate, and the gates have been consumed by fire. So he's repeating something he's already learned about from Hanani and others who came to see him in chapter 1. So we see in verse 4, "Then the king said to me, 'What would you request?' So I prayed to the God of heaven." And we don't know what he prayed, but we know he had to pray very fast, because verse 5 says, "And I said to the king." So he's sitting there or standing there. The king asks him, "You know, why are you sad? What's going on?" And he tells him what's going on. And then he prays. Now, again, that prayer had to be just like that. "God, help me. Please help me. Guide me. Direct me. I want to say the right thing. I need to," you know, whatever he said. We don't know what he prayed, but he prayed to the God of heaven. And obviously he prayed that God would in some way help him with what he was about to say. And I know for each of us, I think that there are times when, I know it's true for me. I don't know about you. I'm assuming it would be true for you, but there are times when something comes up and you just say, "God, help me. I don't know what to do. And I don't know what to say." And so I think we can all identify with this, maybe not in the same way. We're certainly not in the position of a cupbearer, of a king, but there are times when we've all had to say, "I don't know what to say. I don't know what to do. God, please help me." Verse 5 says, "And I said to the king, 'If it please the king, and if your servant has found favor before you, send me to Judah, to the city of my father's tombs, that I may rebuild it.'" So we can see from what he says that he's obviously been thinking about what he needs to do, what he wants to do, what he thinks God would lead him to do. And so the very first thing he comes out of his mouth is a respect for the king. "If it please the king, and if your servant has found a favor before you." He's not a man who's asking for something, demanding it. He is in an important position, but he is not demanding this. He is asking the king very respectfully for what he wants. And he's asking him on the basis of what he had already learned back in chapter 1. And his purpose, we see, "that I may rebuild it." His purpose is to go and to rebuild the city and to rebuild the gates. "Then the king said to me," the queen sitting beside him, "How long will your journey be, and when will you return?" So it pleased the king to send me, and I gave him a definite time. So again, we can see that Nehemiah had been thinking about this. It wasn't something that, you know, he had just prayed quickly. He had some thoughts. He'd been thinking about this. And we know from the time frame, he had 4 months to be thinking about this. It wasn't something that he was just waiting around quickly talking about. "Then the king said to me," "and I said to the king, 'If it please the king, let letters be given me for the governors of the provinces beyond the river, that they may allow me to pass through until I come to Judah, and a letter to Asaph, the keeper of the king's forests, that he may give me timber to make beams for the gates of the fortress, which is by the temple, for the wall of the city, and for the house to which I will go.' And the king granted them to me, because the good hand of my God was on me." You notice there's two things that he asked for, basically. He wants letters to be given to him for safe passage. He knows what it would be like if he made this trip, and he knows that there will be people that he would encounter that if he didn't have the permissions, he could be in big trouble. He could lose his life. And we don't know what type of entourage he had with him. We know that when Ezra went, he had a large entourage with him. And he had a lot of money, valuable things. Nehemiah didn't, we don't know of any valuable things that he's taking. He's just going on a mission to review things, to see what needs to be done, and then to do what he can to help with the rebuilding of the city and ministering to the people. But he also asked for another thing. It says he asked for a letter to Asaph, the keeper of the king's forest. He needs materials, and so he's asking that a letter be given for him, to him, for to give to Asaph, that he would have timber for the city, for the fortress, for the gates. And we see in verse 8 it says, and the king granted them to me because the good hand of my God was on me. I think this shows that what Nehemiah had been praying about and what he had been seeking and the trouble in his heart was of the Lord. It wasn't something that he was just doing because he wanted to do this. He wanted to see his city, his people helped, but he was seeking to honor the Lord. It says, the good hand of my God was on me. So we know that from what he's saying, what he's telling us, that he knew that this was something he had been praying about, he had been worried about, he'd been concerned about, and now God is answering those prayers to help him. And we're going to stop there. I just want to bring up some thoughts, though, that I think would be pertinent for us as far as applications. You know, we're in a time right now when there are a lot of things going on around us, some good, some bad, and it seems like mostly bad. And I think we should take account of something that was true of Nehemiah. If we learn about things that are going on around us, we should go to God in humility, and we should acknowledge that we ourselves are sinners and we are in need of his help. That's what Nehemiah did in that first chapter. And we should seek his help based upon his promises. We know that there are promises that God has given us to be reminded of, that we might be a blessing to those around us. And of course, the most important blessing that we could be to the people around us is to know Christ, to love him, to be forgiven. And that's what's the problem with our world right now anyway. It's because we don't have Christ at the center of people's lives. People aren't trusting him. People aren't looking to him. They are trusting in themselves. They are listening to other people. They are just doing what other people say. And we need to be a light of the gospel to them, to follow Christ, to seek him. Also, we, like Nehemiah, you know, Nehemiah was a cupbearer to the king. He wasn't doing anything extraordinary. He was just doing his duty. And I think we should be reminded that we should continue in whatever God has given us. We have duties, each of us. We have responsibilities, and we should fulfill them. But in the midst of our responsibilities, like Nehemiah and like the king who noticed it, he knew that he was sad, and he knew that there wasn't anything wrong with him. And I think that whatever we're doing, in the process of what we're doing, we shouldn't hide what's going on with us. If somebody notices, you know, so-and-so, you don't look like you're feeling so good today. Is there something wrong? And we should be honest with them. We should tell them what's on our heart, because God will use that, like he did with Nehemiah, to be a blessing to not only what we have to do, but to those people. And like Nehemiah, we should honestly respond to those who question us. And obviously, as Nehemiah did, even if it was just 5 seconds, whatever it was, we should pray. It should always be on our mind that we should ask God to help us in whatever we are doing. And also, we should be specific. Nehemiah had specific things that he asked the king for, and we should do that too. If we are in a position where somebody asks us something and we have a concern, we should be specific and say, this is what I need, this is what I'd like to do, this is my purpose, this is my plan, and let God do what he wants through that person that's in authority over us. And finally, I think we should just be reminded that God has a purpose for each one of us. We don't know what that is. But if we're depending upon him, we're looking to him, we're seeking to serve Jesus Christ, then God will lead us, God will guide us, and he will help us to be a blessing to those around us. So that's what I have to say and mention about Nehemiah. We'll look at the next time I have the fifth Sunday, we'll look at a few more prayers that Nehemiah has. So, Jim, I'll turn it over to you.